And let's give the Lord a great big hand of praise for the pastors here and the fire that is burning. I mean, you know, I'm very grateful because only God opens up our eyes, only God opens up our ears to show us and to allow us to know the importance of what is happening. And, you know, as we are transformed from glory to glory, we're moving from generation to generation. Jesus spoke about many generations, and we're reaching another point. And, you know, it's one thing to take it as a common thing, and you know, when I was younger, I would have never thought that I'd be in this place and in the fire that is burning, and never gave it a real comprehension of the afterlife or the eternal realm, and really focus on transforming into the divine nature of Christ. I can relate, but things transpire, I can start seeing how important it is to look at life after death and to have that place. And there's a responsibility because of how the ages are increasing with knowledge. God is requiring more. And we've heard about building a house and building the temple of God and things like that, probably for many generations back, about how it's important to have, you know, God dwelling in you. But I think times have changed, and there's a requirement that is required, and it's a deeper requirement. When I was meditating on Him and dwelling on His Word, you know, He revealed to me that there is an unconditional loving in the eyes of God. You know, He doesn't look at our darkness. He doesn't look at the sin that we were born in. He doesn't look at that. He's always looking towards the light of the divine nature that is inside of us. And He's always encouraging us to be transformed into that light. And that's the unconditional of love. You know, His grace has been brought onto us, and His grace is poured out to us to receive a transformation. Grace is what transforms us. We overcome and we are saved by grace. So that grace is knowledge of God and knowing who He is. And that grace is saving us, and there's a transformation right now in the level of grace. He's pouring out more grace. So our eyes are opening up even more to be able to see this mystery, this beauty of transformation. You know, and one of the things is that we have to be conscious about the word that God is saying to us and take it to heart so that we can be conformed to His image and what He's requiring. And as the pastors were saying earlier, you know, back in the day, they allowed to sacrifice animals. That was a requirement in the eyes of God. His commandment was to take two turtle doves or take a goat or a sheep or whatever and sacrifice it. But then there was a point in time where God didn't desire sacrifices anymore. He was like, listen, it has gone to a level of, and My grace is being poured out more, and the generation has gotten to the point where it perverted the sacrifices. And you know what? I don't desire sacrifices anymore. And this is God. God is saying, I'm changing how I view things. And so I'm not desiring sacrifices anymore. And that's why we don't slaughter animals anymore. But what transpired is He sent, you know, the prophet, Jesus, who is called to be a son of God, because of the grace that was given to Him at that time, brought Him to a place of saying to a message, no more sacrifices. Now God wants to dwell with man. The tabernacle is not made with hands anymore. It's made by God within. Now, through that, those generations, there was a fire that was burning that brought a message of transformation. And that transformation had requirements. Trust God. Believe that He sent His Son Jesus to bring this message, that He doesn't desire sacrifices anymore, but He desires a place for God to dwell in your heart. He doesn't dwell on the mountain anymore. He doesn't dwell over there. we uphold those beliefs and we held them. And in God's eyes, well done, faithful servant, because that's the level of grace that was given to us. And I also believe that he knew how the evil and the perversion of the world was getting. And today, we reached peak levels. And we're coming into a higher level of grace, where God says, it's getting to the point where I desire more now. I desire more. Because of what is happening, I desire more. And he says, you know, he warned us in each transformation that don't be thinking it's a strange thing if they hate you, because they hated me too. Anytime we change and we conform in God, darkness doesn't like it and they're going to hate you. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden you begin to embrace this transformation and desire to go into higher levels of knowing him the more, that darkness is going to see it and you're going to end up having people who you loved or people who loved you or what have you. It may change. Things are going to alter in your life. But that's another message down the road, because I believe that there's going to be a trembling in relationships that are going to come up ahead, because God's going to be separating the sheep from the goats and coming forth and causing divisions amongst us in the sense of the world. And if you're in the world, there's going to be separations in the world. And that's another whole story. But I want to focus on building the house of God, and to this level in this age, 2018, and how we are to transform into this new nature that God is requiring from us. And I want to start off opening up, because this whole series of messages has been birthed by this verse. And I want to share this verse out of the Bible. It says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, I found that interesting that, you know, 2017, we were talking about how important it is to do the will of God. And where was the will of God? And we spoke about the conviction of our heart, not reasoning with our minds. So God was building a platform to understand the will of God. Then it goes on to here and says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now, I take that very serious, because you have individuals who seem to be build a tabernacle, a dwelling place for God, even coming to the point where they were doing these works, these wonders, in his name. God wants to know who we are. He wants to make sure that we know who we are, so that we're not doing the old times. See, back in the day, the disciples used to go out and heal the sick in Jesus' name. How many people have heard that before? And when we broke down the fact that, and brought the truth, that a lot of people might not like this, but Jesus was a man just like us. In Acts, it speaks about it. And we realized that he was a prophet from God. And many, many other religions understand that, except Christianity. Christianity has a hard nut in their head saying, no, he wasn't a prophet, he was the Son of God. And it's like, we gotta evolve past this. He was a prophet, he was a man just like us, who had a level of grace that understood that God dwelled in him, and because he was transformed into the divine nature called Christ, it was no longer he that lived, but God living in him. So if you saw him, you saw the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. We have to conform to this so that we can move past that generation of, like, having sacrifices. They had to move past killing the goats. Can you imagine living back in that era? And you literally, how many turtle doves did you kill? How many goats did you kill based on your sin? And then all of a sudden they tell you to stop. Now you have a strong conviction of that. Wait a minute, no way, I killed goats for my sins. I killed turtle doves for my sins. You know, I do this for my sins. And then someone come and tell you, you got to stop doing that. What do you mean? I've been convicted to do this. This is the law of Moses, and this is what I'm going to die doing. Well, this is kind of like where we're at right now. We're at a point right now where we're trying to tell the world, God doesn't desire that anymore, and you got to stop. No way. I've been casting out devils in his name, and I've been doing this in his name, and I've been seeing wonderful works in his name, and I'm going to be a follower of his name, and I'm going to be doing all this in his name, and I'm going to be... God wants you to put that down aside and enter to that point where the shadows of Peter healed the sick. There's a glory that God has waiting for us that we haven't seen yet. And I truly believe that this is the beginning in 2018 that we're going to begin to see the shadows of you passing by, touching someone, just your presence alone, the word that you speak to them in love, is going to bring healing to them, deliverance, setting them free. We've known now that we're beyond saying, devil, come out. We're beyond, devil, come out in Jesus' name. I mean, we were Jesus' name, devil, come out in Jesus' name. I mean, that's because we were scratching our head saying that's all we knew, but we knew that that wasn't right at that time. And then we said, devil, come out. We watched the devils coming out. Now we're not even like devils coming out. We're like, let's give them the truth. Amen. And let's get them to change the way they're thinking so that devil has no more stronghold to hold on to and it comes out all by itself. Amen. The truth sets them free. And God gets all the glory. We set them free by the truth. And we're given truth now. And God wants us to bring that place where he dwells. Now, these people are standing before the Lord at that time. Many will say in that day is the judgment day. That day is when your body leaves the earth. That day is when your spirit is taken up into the heavenly realms and you stand before the white throne, so to say. We're all going to die. And I'm grateful for what I'm in right now because I'm seeing a lot of death. And I'm seeing how more and more, the body is just a body. And the spirit is what brings life into that body. Without the spirit, that body is like a hard brick, rock. It has no form. There's no life. But that spirit's somewhere. That spirit is not just floating around in the atmosphere. That spirit enters into a new life. There's a new life there, and there's new living things going on. I've been there. I've seen it. I'm a witness. I'm an eyewitness of the eternal realm. I'm a witness of the eternal realm. And that's why we're here today, as a witness of the eternal realm. And in that eternal realm, there is judgment. Now, I'm not a big judgment guy. I don't talk about it much. But I just feel an urgency to waken, get quickened and waken those that are hearing the importance of the eternal realm, begin to get awakened about life after death. And to let them understand that there's going to be a judgment. And not all judgment is bad. How many of us stood before the judge on this earth and he hammered it down and you were set free? I mean, I actually faced the judge and I'm thinking, oh, here it goes. And I'm, Your Honor, whatever you think is best, you know. And next thing you know, poof, all right, get out of here. Don't let it ever happen again. Woo, I'm free. You know, so I want people to think that the judgment is not always bad. It's good, too. You make good judgments. But the judgment is based on, and I'm starting to see a greater revelation of this light. And you know, if we can just take the most simplest thing and come out of the soul, come out of the wickedness, come out of that life and just begin to trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind, I'm going to tell you right now, you got a ticket. But it's a low-level ticket. It's like riding a plane. Do you want first class or do you want to sit in the very back with the screaming kid? You know, it's up to you. You want to sit in the very back where the bathrooms are, or do you want to go where the, you know, first class seatings? I want first class seatings in the eternal realm because eternity doesn't change. It's forever. This earth is going to change. Tomorrow is going to change. You're going to either have a good day or you're going to have a bad day. But up there, you know, once you go into a bad day, you're going to have a bad day for a real long time. Or if you're going to have a good day, you're going to have a real good day all day long. I want to have a good day for eternity. I don't want to have a bad day. But I want you to get hungry and begin to see this evolving grace that is given to us. In verse 22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? I think we have gotten confused with the anointing. You know, we can have an anointing. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship. You can walk with power. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship. And God desires a relationship in this hour. God desires to dwell and have a relationship with us in this hour. And I don't know how much more I can emphasize this, but it's so important right now. And then it says here in 23, it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In the King James Bible, it says, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. You got these individuals saying, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We casted out devils. I mean, you got to understand, they had to have been anointed. They had to have some kind of thought pattern and some idea that they were actually in the presence of God. Listen, I believe we all can cast out devils. I believe we all can heal the sick if you have a level of faith. But that's a whole different, how do I want to say it? Part. You know, there are many parts. I want the one most important. I could care less if I ever cast out a devil ever again in my whole entire life. I could care less if anybody ever comes to salvation ever again. I don't care if the whole world just burns. The only thing I care right now is me. That God sees me and he dwells with me. And me and him are walking through the cool of the day. You know, me and him are going through this life together. That's it. At this point in my life, that's all I want is him and him only. That's it. It's nice to have other things, relationships and family and all that other stuff, and you know, be able to have a service and watch God heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, all that other stuff, and be able to glorify his name. But you know what? At this point right now, I just want his presence. And I believe that's what he's requiring. That's kind of like what he's saying. He's like, listen, I don't need you to do anything for me. I feel like in 2018, God is saying to the whole church out there, the whole world, I don't need you to heal anybody. I don't need you to deliver anybody. I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to have me in your presence. I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to embrace the relationship with me. That's what I believe God is saying. I believe God right now, his heart is saying, I want to dwell with you. You know, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to have any other gods before him. And I feel that in this hour, God's reached the level of jealousy. It's crazy, but I'm almost at the point where I want to just say, he's so jealous of you right now. We got any young couples in here? Ooh. They're young. There's a young couple over there, and there's a young couple. Now, I want to talk to the guy. You like anybody looking at your woman? How do you feel if someone looks at her? Don't like it, do you? I mean, you could be all tough and say, yeah, you can look at her all you want, but in the minute, what are you doing? I don't blame you. I wouldn't want anybody looking at her either. I want her looking at me and me only. Then what are you looking at him for? I want you to look at me. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Hey, yo, I'm over here. Well, you know, God's the same way. God's like, yo, what are you looking at? I'm over here. I believe this is the hour that God is saying, what are you looking at? I'm over here. Are you looking at me? How many of us are looking at something else? You know, our relationship, I believe right now, God has reached a level of jealousy. And he's like, it ain't happening. My heart longs and desires you. I mean, I feel in my own heart, that's what he's speaking to me. He's pulling me in. And if he's pulling me in, I know he's pulling you all in. Because we are all the same. We have been brought together for a purpose. We have been brought together for this eternal realm. We have been brought together. And if he's speaking to me, he's speaking to you. And he's jealous. He wants you. He wants you bad. More so than you ever think. Now, let's take the other person that isn't so jealous. Oh, just get over it. Believe me, you're the one I want. I'm not going anywhere. You see the difference? And I feel that that's kind of like where we're at right now. No, God, you're the only one I want. Get over it. And he's like looking at us like, no, who are you looking at? I'm over here. Better start looking at me. If you're not going to look at me, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gone. Now, wouldn't that be like the jealous one? If you're not going to look at me, right? I'm out of here. If you're not going to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, you know what? I'm out of here. I'll find someone else that's going to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I believe right now, God's heart is saying to all of us that are listening, all of us that are here, I want you to know who I am. And I want to know you. In verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. That solid steel rock. And the rain descends and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, who's to say, you know, in Noah's time the floods came, you know? Who's to say, you know, what really is going to represent the flood, the winds, and the beat on that house? Verse 26, it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. Not only did it fall, but great was its fall. It's almost like a greater judgment is coming. You know, another higher level. When I stood before the judge that day and he says, get out of here. If I stand before him again, he might just give me the hammer and say, you're not getting out of here this time. You're going to spend some time. Throw him away. I believe God is saying in this hour that if we left this earth, we had a ticket. But sadly to say, you didn't leave. So there's a higher requirement for the ticket. How many people are grabbing this one? So we need to now start to look at ourselves, and we need to start really looking at our relationship with God. Now, for those new believers, I want you to just lean on this. Cast down the worries, cast down the fears, cast down the anxiety. Start resting in, trusting in God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You gotta get out of the storm, and you gotta sleep through the storm. You gotta rest. God has a plan, a purpose. He's got your back. So you gotta like back off and let him do his thing. Trust him. By trusting in him like that, okay, you are now entering into this new relationship that he's requiring. But those who have done the works of the Lord in the past, haven't I done all these things in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? Really have to repent on their form of doctrine and where their worship is and how they're praying and what they're doing in their life. And how often are they meditating on him day and night? There's a deeper level and a deeper understanding that we got to come into. Those that have been Christians or believers or following the relationship with God for many, many, many moons, I'll tell you right now, things are changing. I'm going to start talking about the supernatural more. And I want to let you know that those that can speak in the angelic language better start speaking in the angelic language a lot more. They better begin to start taking their soulish prayers of English and throw them out the door because God doesn't even want to hear them anymore. Because we don't know what to pray for. And by us breaking ourselves down and becoming more humble, knowing that we don't know what to pray for anymore, we better kick in the angelic language that God has blessed us with and begin to pray more. And then pray for interpretation if you want to know what you're praying for, you know? And through that, we need to grow more and understand that when we're cursed at and when someone speaks vile accusations against us or we have a problem with an individual, we got to begin to have eyes to see that it's not the individual. That there are powers and principalities that are manifesting, and it's not them that is our enemy, it's the devil, or whatever you want to call it, darkness, that is our enemy. I share these for those who have so-called been called a Christian, and I know we got listeners around the world, and I know we got the church that listens to us, and I know that there's believers that are listening to us, and I know that there are even denominations that are listening to us, because I'm texting them and emailing them, telling them that they better back off on their messages and better start listening to the truth because they better get off their holy horse there that they're riding. So if you send someone an email or a text message or a Facebook page message with our website on there telling them they better listen, wouldn't you like log on and see what you're missing? I would. Someone said, hey, you better listen to this, blah, blah, blah. I'll check it out and see what they got to say. But at the same time, I know we're reaching many, many individuals. Moving on. For 2018, we have to begin to start seeing through the eyes of God and what he is now requiring from us. He's a jealous God, and he doesn't want any other gods before him. He wants us to look at him just like a man and a woman. Don't be looking at him. Don't be looking at her. What are you doing? So God is requiring that heart from us. We shouldn't be looking at anyone other than him. When we come to this place, building our house, we need to begin to start looking at the attributes of God. Yes, he's unconditional in his love for us. And if you could take a couple, and I look at this couple right here, and I'm going to use this couple as an example. I'm going to beat you guys up today. But there's so much forgiving right now because there's a lot of love. And because of that, God says the same thing. He forgives us because there's a lot of love. But at the same time, if we continue to repeat the same nonsense over and over, the love's going to grow cold, isn't it? It's going to be like, you know what, I had enough. I can only take so much. And then I had enough. The last thing I want any of us is to be trapped in that place where all of a sudden God says, you have become a sounding cymbal and a clanging brass, or a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. You're like a noise to me now. You're just like a noisy mess. I've heard the same prayers. I've heard the same nonsense. I hear the same worrying. I hear the same fears. It's like, oh ye of little faith, what the heck is going on here? You know, what is going on? Enough. Am I your God? Am I not your God? And if I am your God, then you need to trust me, and you need to lean on me, and you need to know that I have your best interest. And fall into that love and cast down the whatever else is in the way of this love. You know, if we know the things that bother an individual, would it be wise to keep doing it? No. And then when I look at a couple, and let's say the young man has wandering eyes and he tends to check out every girl that walks by, there's going to be a point that his lover is going to be like, I'm having enough of this. Wouldn't you agree? I had enough. Right now, her love is very strong and she's very forgiving. But if it continued, it would be no. Enough. Done. Not saying that those things are taking place, but God is saying that for us today. Do we have wandering eyes? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the cares of the things of this life? Are we looking at, you know, the troubles and the problems and all? God wants to take us out of that world. And he wants to bring us into the kingdom of God, where he dwells. And the kingdom dwells within us. He wants to kind of put it all together and make it one. Moving forward in 2018, this year, I think is very crucial that we begin to look at where is our heart. I believe that these individuals who were doing the service of God, we did all these things in your name, for one, never really upholded the revelation of who they were. They were always depending on the power of his name. How many people are grabbing that one? I hope I'm speaking to a lot of people out there. We have moved on through the prophet and Jesus. But there's a lot of people out there that have not moved on. They're ending their prayers in his name. They're doing works in his name. They're doing many, many things in his name. It's time for the church to wake up and move on. But with that being said, they don't have the revelation of who they are. Do you know who you are? You are a child of God. And our eyes should be looking in heaven and be able to see what heaven is and what is going on in heaven so that we can do the will of the Father. Yes, the will of the Father manifests through convictions, but we also have to have eyes to see what the heavenlies are doing through visions and dreams and be able to manifest those visions and dreams on earth. There are some greater things that I think the Lord is going to do through his church in this upcoming years for those who know who they are. You know, you look at the apostles, and Peter was one of them. He knew who he was. Where when he walked into the room, the atmosphere changed. People were being healed and delivered and set free just by the glory of God that was resonating in him. That glory of God is the presence of God, his meditation, knowing who he is. When you're with your spouse and the two of you are together, isn't it wonderful? How many of you here are married and have their loved ones that are close to them? Good. How's it feel when they're close? Women are probably feeling very secure, very comfortable, knowing that today is going to be a good day. But remember when he wasn't around? How did it feel? Didn't feel good, did it? Always thinking about him. Sometimes we need a break. I'm not talking about the breaks. Okay? Let's say the break time is over. Unfortunately, you begin to start thinking. Or you might get the phone. Where are you at? When are you coming home? No, I mean, stay out, but when are you coming home? Should I expect you for dinner? Well, I made something, but you know. I believe that it's getting tighter in the heart of God. Now, how many of us have ever been in a relationship where you really had a love for that individual, but yet that other individual didn't really have a love for you? How did that make you feel? Blech. No matter what you did, that person just didn't really, they didn't dig you. They didn't think that you were all that. But yet you were like, all gaga and couldn't stop thinking about the individual and just tormented by it. I feel in my heart that this is where God is going. Frustrated. He's feeling frustrated. He's feeling frustrated the fact that he has this longing, groaning love. And we're not showing any interest in him. I mean, we're being nice by doing all these things in his name. You know, we're being nice by throwing out some morning prayers and evening prayers and maybe even like at dinner time or whatever. We're being nice by sharing the good news with another individual. But have you ever been in a relationship? Those nice things don't really matter. You know, you want something more. Has anyone ever been in a relationship where it's like the person was nice and sweet and everything else, but it just wasn't working? Now, you women, I know you've met some really nice guys, right? And they probably would have done anything for you. But it just wasn't working. Has any women ever met them kind of guys? Sweet, nice. You really wanted one of them bad guys. You know, no, I'm kidding. The real nice, sweet guys that, you know, are just, you'd do anything. It just wasn't working. I believe this is the heart of God right now. It's a crazy message today, isn't it? A little crazy. Who would have ever thought that the heart of God would manifest itself like this so much that he would get, I hope, one of his children to voice it out to the world? He's looking for us, calling for us. He's calling us in. He doesn't want us to be the nice guy anymore. He wants us to be the lover. He wants us to be the lover. He wants us to hold him tight, call him his own. You know, you women, I'm sure you like your man to kind of hold you in public. and show you that they're yours, right? You like that, don't you? Even holding hands, like hold my hand. Oh my God, he's holding my hand. He's holding my hand and oh, it does something, doesn't it? Am I off the wall? Yep. One said, yep. How many women are agreeing with me? Because I know you men, you could care less if your hand is held or not. But the women have some kind of sixth sense. Sense in them that just holding a hand in a public place or somehow showing that this is my girl to the world, like, does something. It makes them feel like fluttery good. Man, in the other way, he's like, what are you doing? What, you want me to hold your hand? All right, I'll hold your hand. It doesn't mean as much as it does with a woman. In the eyes of God, he's got that woman's sense of about him, because I would be like, come on, God. You know, what you got to get so mushy on me for? And he's like, Jim, you got to pray more in the spirit. I want to get mushy. There's groanings and utterances that you don't understand that I want to hear. There's things that are going on that I want from you. I want you to think about me and hold my hand during the day. I want you to. And I'm like, okay, if this is something that you want, then, you know, move on my heart to do it. Show me that you want this. And he is, in subtle little ways. You know, when you get the desires of your heart, you tend to give the desires of their heart. So, for example, you want that guy to hold your hand, you better listen to the guy, find out what he really is looking for, and give him what he's looking for. And I believe this is what's happening in the relationship with God right now. He's listening to what we're asking. How many of us here today are asking God for things in your life? Whether it's spiritual, physical, mental, whatever it is, we're asking. Well, God is saying, I'm hearing you now. So if you hear me now and hold my hand, I'm going to hear you and I'm going to begin to fulfill the desires of your heart even more. Remember I said God has an unconditional love, and then I said he has a conditional love? It's true. His unconditional love is, I'm not looking at your faults, your sins, whatever, as true love does. We overlook those things. When you have a love for an individual, we tend to overlook those little things. And in the eyes of God, they're little. But then there's certain things that we really want and we require. And that's God. He has certain things that he really wants and he really requires. And at the same time, if we're like a spouse, a married couple, and we all are at fault at this, we work in a conditional type love too. If you're going to show me respect, then I'm going to respect you. If we're going to show you this, I'm going to do this to you. I know that you've been liking this, so, you know, I baked you a cake today because I want my hand held. You know, it's the nature of who we are. And we begin to work in each other's lives. I believe that we're moving forward in this deeper, intimate relationship with God. It's happening. He's a jealous God and he wants more from us. And by us giving him what he wants, our hearts are going to be fulfilled. And the relationship is going to be binding. It's going to be together. It's going to be one. It's going to be unified. How many people have grabbed this message today? Amen. This is the word of the Lord. He's a jealous God. And he doesn't want to have any other gods before him. And he's checking you out. And he's seeing if you're meditating on him day and night. Are you thinking about him day and night? Are you, you know, uttering those utterances? Even though we know not what to pray for, we pray for them in spirit. How many of us here understand the language of the angelic? They call it the tongues of angels. It's an utterance that comes out through our spirit and allows us to utter an unknown language, not known by man, not known by anyone other than the heavenly realm. Pray for it. Ask God to give it to you. And if you would like, you can come to me personally and I can share more about it. But we're moving forward into the supernatural because that's where God dwells in, the supernatural. And he's a jealous God. And he wants more of us. And I believe that we all can come conform to him. Heaven's invading earth, whether we like it or not. His will is going to be done, whether we like it or not. And sometimes we have to abide by what his wishes are so that we can keep that unifying spirit. I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you," because I never conformed to his commandments. I never conformed to his ways, his desires. I never conformed. I was stiff-necked, hard-nosed, maybe self-centered to the point where I wasn't even allowing to exercise the gifts that were given to me in prayer. Or I never even gotten to the point of meditating on him the way I should be, and was more selfish on meditating on the things that I had to do today. If you cry out in that humble state, broken state, that I want to know you the more, he's going to let you know him the more. He will open your heart and understand what he's looking for. And how he does that is he'll convict you more. He'll stir your heart up and get you to realize you're worrying when you shouldn't be worrying. He'll realize and show you that what you're meditating on is not really that important and it's foolish. Has anyone ever been quickened in a thought that you had and you realized how foolish it was? Good. Because that was God showing you him. That's how God shows himself to us, by quickening us in a sense of being able to have power to lay it down and trust in him. It's a wonderful thing to know how God works in our lives. And we're going to begin to reveal these mysteries so that we can see God with us. It's one thing to walk in this world, but it's even better when you can walk knowing that you have the presence of God with you. It builds your confidence up knowing that God is coming with you and you're not alone. And to be able to walk this way in a world that listen, you don't belong in there. You might think so, but you don't. There's a lot of people listening, and I'm going to tell you right now, those that are listening, they're starting to see that, why am I here? There's a song that is played on the radio, "I'm a Weirdo." I'm creepy, right? What is it? Creep from Radiohead. And it says, I'm a weirdo, right? I love that song. I love that song. And is that the one that says, I want the world to see me, but... Okay, that's who? Iris from the Goo Goo Dolls. That's another song I like. Because I want the world to hear me. I want them to hear me. And then it has other lyrics. I love the lyrics. Maybe one day we'll play it. But there are two songs that I really embrace. I'm a weirdo, and I want the world to hear me. Because you don't belong here either. None of you belong here. I mean in the world. And you're going to find out when God knocks on your door, you're going to start seeing that the world doesn't taste as good as it used to taste. And it's going to be like bitter in your mouth. And you're going to feel weird. Even around the people that you used to hang out with, you're going to find out that this is weird. They talk about other things and they do other things, and it just seems like I'm not a part of this world that they're in. And you'll begin to start understanding why. Because God's doing it. I'm going to tell you right now, in 2018, God is going to do something in your life that is going to change your world. You're called. Those that are hearing my voice right now, whether it's taped, recorded, or even like postlated on a message, God is going to change your world, and you can't stop it. The only thing you can do is embrace it. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. I'm going to speak prophetically, and hopefully those that have an ear can hear. If it rings true in your spirit, embrace it because it's for you. I feel like God is saying right now, you got something going on in your life. You're a little troubled. You're a little bothered. But everything's going to work out. Everything is going to be fine. He's going to work things out to the point where there's no loss. It's actually going to make you wiser. And you're going to prepare for the future, for what's to come. Some of us might have to grow up a little bit. We're carrying on like a little baby, and we have to grow up. There might be things that are going against you or you feel disturbed or bothered by, and you're taking it too personal, and you got to stop taking it personal. It's not about you. It's not about you. Right now, this is a stepping stone, and realize that God is preparing your future, and take what is in front of you, do the best you can, and as you're gratefully receiving the opportunity that was given to you, hold on to it dearly, be grateful for it, and you'll see that God will move quicker than what you expect. If you continue to murmur and complain about it and carry on like a child and take it personal as if they're coming against you, you're going to be tormented for longer. May even have a thought of quitting. And then if you quit, it's going to be a heck of a lot worse than where you're at. So just endure the sufferings. Receive it with grace. Put a smile on your face. Let the day pass. Tomorrow's a new day. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Suck it up. Everything will be okay because there's something greater in store for you. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam if he would close. And I'm going to give a special hand for all the pastors that opened up this morning. Let's give them a big hand of praise because they're spot on.
I want to bring Kurt Jr. up, if you don't mind. He loves it. I'm going to end the service with a miracle that just happened. Kurt has a picture in his phone. We walk that picture around of that car. Show the people that car. He was at a stop sign. Here, tell the story.
Yeah, so this happened last Friday. I was coming home from New York, because I'm working up in New York during the week, and I come home on weekends, so I was driving southbound on the turnpike past exit 5, so I was only a few miles away from hitting exit 4 where I get off. And there was a stoppage up ahead, and it was a couple days after it was snowing, and so nobody was really going too fast, and there was a stoppage up ahead, so as I broke and I hit the brakes, I looked up at the rearview mirror, and the person behind me never hit their brakes. They just came crashing into me, probably going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. So it basically erased my trunk and drove me into the Pathfinder in front of me and destroyed my hood. I mean, it was declared a total loss, but I mean, I knew that right away. But it took a while for me to really realize what happened, because it all happened so fast, but it knocked me unconscious when it happened. And it drove me into the median, and I like woke up and figured where I was. And I was going back into traffic. So I'd look out my side mirror, because I couldn't see anything in front of me because my hood was crashed up. And I could just see the traffic that had stopped, thank God, because if anybody else would have hit me, I probably would have died. But I just came back, and I went across traffic, and I ended up stopping right into the snowbank right before the barrier was there. And I just sat in the shoulder, and I was walking around, you know, I didn't know what else to do, so I just started asking everybody else if they were okay. You know, there was cars up further ahead, and it ended up turning into a 7-car pileup, and I got, you know, the worst of the damage, but, you know, I just thank God, you know, that everything ended up being okay. You know, nothing else could have brought me over to the other side of the highway other than God, the way he did it. You know, I had absolutely no control of the car. I couldn't steer it. I couldn't get the keys out of the ignition. I mean, there was absolutely nothing I could have done at that point. And so anything could have happened. But, you know, I'm fine now. I was having a little bit of back pain earlier in the week, but I'm feeling better. And, you know, just thank God.
This is the fruit of this ministry. God told me he came this close to taking him. Could have been this close. But that's a walking miracle right there. Scripture says, though 5,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 will fall at your right, not one arrow will hit you. Even though 5,000 fall at your left and 10,000, not one arrow is going to hit you. That's the fruit of this ministry. That's why we're here. God has your back. He's always protecting you. I'm sure he wasn't sitting there praying to God, worshiping, you know, no. He's just, his normal life, God's with you all the time, no matter what. He's always, always, always with you. He's got your back. Amen. He's a walking miracle. He's a walking miracle. Amen. Please come out Wednesday night, guys, for service. It's a great night to come out. Great middle of the week break. And then you guys know Sunday services. So sometimes we'll bring you up. You know, sometimes if you're here, we'll bring you up and, you know, let you get involved in the conversation. It's great. So have a great week, and God bless. Amen.